Hallelujah. That's why we come to church right there. Was that good? Or was that good? Praise God. I know one thing. There's some hungry people here. Wednesday night after the 4th, I know you're the diehards. I have no question about that. I know that already. And you folks are hungry. You are crying out to God, and He's responding. Hallelujah. Does that encourage you? That encourages me so much. I could just tell we're just right at that tipping point in the Spirit. Right at that place where at any moment, I could just imagine in a service, at any moment, Him flooding in here so strongly, you're not going to want to leave. Who wants to go? That's why I moved here for this. Praise God. You know, I've been reading some things about some of the revivalists in the turn of the century. They were just common people. Just like you and just like me, they weren't anything special. Do you know what we have in common with them? They were hungry people, like you are. I want to encourage you, continue to cry out to the Lord and tell Him how hungry and how thirsty you are for more of Him. Continue to do that because He's responding to that. He's responding. I'm never going to be satisfied. No matter how much of God I get, I want more. There's more. There's no end to Him. Amen? There's no end. And I want to encourage you in another area too. As you're crying out to the Lord, cry out for His mercy for this nation, for this city, in repentance for the sins of this nation. For forgiveness, for His presence to flood in this place, in this city. See, that's what revival will bring. It'll bring that humbleness of heart where people will cry out for salvation. Not just in the ones and the twos, but the tens and the hundreds and the thousands. That's what we're heading towards. We're the multitudes. I'm all for the healing. But that's the calling card for salvation. They can be healed and still go to hell. I want them to go to heaven. I want the salvation. I want the lives changed permanently. And this revival is going to produce that. It is going to produce multitudes of salvation, people going to heaven. Are you excited about that? That's what you die for. That's what you're willing to lay your life down. It's for to see the multitudes. If there's anything worth laying your life down, it's that. Right there. See lives change for the kingdom of God. I'm like Gary. All I was looking for was a reason. Something that I could believe in. That I could lay my life down for, and I found it. This is worth it. This is worth it. Hallelujah. Glorify your name, Jesus. Gary's been talking recently about transformation. How many of you heard some of the messages, been blessed by him about transformation? I've really enjoyed how he's expounded on metamorpho, about that transformation process, that perfect image of the caterpillar transforming into the butterfly. I'm going to talk about that a little bit tonight, that transformation process. I'm going to talk about promotion too a little bit. You know, you come here week after week, and most of you that, like I said, you're the diehards. You're the one that you make the services. You do the message. I can see that. I watch you. I see the change. I know that there's things happening in your lives, that you're striving to do this message. It's very evident. And I know as you do this for a period of time, the tendency is to start looking for when's it going to happen, Lord, for me? When am I going to step into that my calling, into that place that you have prepared for me? When is that going to happen? And for myself, I can tell you that when I got born again, I was 25 years old. I'm 46 now. At 25 years old, now granted, I'd been in church, like I said before, all my life. And I'd walked away from that, walked away from church. But at 25, I was in a meeting. It actually was a women's meeting. My mother was the coordinator, and she had a convention. And she said, my dad said, I'd really like for you to go to that. Well, at that point, I was an alcoholic. I did drugs. I was a mess. I was a businessman, and I just partied a lot. And I really had no intention of going to that. And for my mom's sake, I went. That was the only reason I was there. And the lady that was the minister was a prophetess. And at that point, it didn't mean anything to me. She was just a lady. So that was speaking. That was it. And she proceeded out of a room of about 250 people to point me out and start reading my mail. And it just shocked me like you wouldn't believe. Shocked me. Forever changed my life from that moment on. And she told me about what I would be doing like right now. Preaching, ministering. I was lost like a goose in a snowstorm. I couldn't hardly imagine doing what that lady was saying that I would do. So I left that place and I got saved a few weeks later. It took me a little while to get it through my thick head that this is really what I needed, but I finally did. Within about a year, I was in a Bible college. And here's the thing that I want to point out to you. When you live in the culture like we have in this country, the culture here is you set your path based on what you want to do in your life. Then you go out and you educate yourself to fulfill that objective. And that's how I grew up, and that's how I'm sure most of you have too. You have your 5-year goals, your 10-year goals. You go to college. You do everything necessary to achieve your objectives. And that's what I did. And when I got saved, I tried to apply that mentality to Christianity. And I'm here to tell you, after about 20 years, it don't work. You cannot apply the world's mentality in the spiritual arena. It does not fit. Now, it doesn't mean that there's not a lot of Bible colleges promoting that very idea. Come here, do your studies, finish your curriculum. How many in here went to Bible college? Just raise your hand. Okay, you put your hand down. I knew there'd be a lot of you. Go to Bible college, finish the curriculum, cross all your T's, dot all your I's, graduate. There you are, you're a minister. How many of you were like I was and thought, I'm just going to go be a minister? That's what I thought. I thought ministry was just going to happen. You know, just go do it. Fortunately, just before I went to Bible college, I got a hold of Dave Roberson tape about meditation, imagery, and delivery, and I found out at least how to pray in tongues. So I knew how to do that. So I did that, along with going through all of the things that the world says you have to do to be a minister. And that's really what it is. The world says, this is how we do it. This is what we expect out of you. So what do? We fall in that trap, thinking that we have to go to Bible college, and there's nothing wrong with Bible college, but going there does not make you a minister. Sorry, it doesn't do it. I don't care if you have a DD after your name, a PhD, I don't care what you have, it doesn't make you a minister. And it took me forever to realize that. I'm not talking about weeks, I'm talking about years. Years of banging my head against the wall. But fortunately, I was banging and praying in tongues at the same time. That was my saving grace. I banged my head, but I prayed in tongues. And I wasn't praying in tongues like nonstop or anything. You know, every once in a while, I'm like you. I had this little soulish vacation. I walked away from the message a few times. But you know something? There's something about this message that it grabs you and it pulls you back. You know, I did not get a phone call while living in West Palm Beach from Dave Roberson saying, Mark, I want you to move to Tulsa, Oklahoma. He didn't even know who I was. Well, actually, no, he didn't. He didn't know who I was at all. But there was something inside of me, in my spirit, man, drawing me this direction. Like you. Like most of you. But I want to impress on you one thing. I want to impress on you how long I beat my head. I kept thinking, if I keep doing this, eventually I'm going to be a minister. That's probably the only reason I'm here right now. Because I just wouldn't stop. Most people, I think, do. Honestly, I think at some point they reach their saturation. They say enough and they go on into the business world. Now, there were times I went in the business world, but I had enough in me at that point when I went that I was still listening to him. So when he said, come back, I came back. So why am I saying all of that? God does not promote flesh. He does not promote flesh. And it doesn't matter. The title of this message is there's no timetable to... There's no timetable to that metamorphosis, to the transformation process. There's no timetable to it. In other words, you didn't walk into this building and Tim Stemple hand you a piece of paper and said, okay, in 1 year from now, you're going to step into ministry. This is step A, step B, step C, and then you're in it. Okay, so 1 year from now, you didn't get that. There were no papers handed out. The only thing that you've heard since you walked in this door is the same thing that I've heard. Pray. Pray. Keep praying. Why? I want to go and do. I'm a doer. And yeah, there's been times in this process that I've gone and done. And there's been some marginal success with it too. It's not nothing great, but there's been some success to it. It's interesting, whenever I got saved, the Lord dealt with me originally a lot with prophetic words. Wasn't like I chased them down. They just kind of chased me down, it seemed like. I had one guy prophesy to my wife and I. It was about 30, 30-minute long prophecy. Sat us down, had a tape recorder, and told us about the rest of our life. It was the most amazing thing, and the accuracy was impeccable. And in fact, that word was the word that my wife hung on to through her cancer treatment. Whenever, at the end of the word, it said something to the effect of it, your long life together. And her long life is going to be long. So we hung on to that word. But there was one aspect of that word that has spoke to me over the years. It was this. I love how God says things. He said, I want to give you a little bit, a little taste. I'm going to let you savor that taste. He said, you're the kind of person that wants to eat it all at the same time. But I'm just going to give you a little bit. And I'm going to let you savor that little taste. And then later on, I'll give you another little bit. And let you savor that. And that's what he's done. You know, there's been these opportunities that I've had over the years where God has allowed me to go out and minister in different situations for lengths of time. But it never seemed like it lasted. And I was savoring those times. And I think about them now. And some of you can relate to exactly what I'm saying. There's been times that you've prayed yourself to a place and God could use you in that place. And now you look back and you think about those times with the fondest thoughts and you savor that. I want to tell you, that's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. Savor those times, but the times ahead are going to be richer than those times. They're going to be richer. You see, all those years, he could use me just at the level that I had prayed myself to. And that was it. That was it. So I'd pray some more, and there was another opportunity. And then it was over with. And I'd pray some more, and there was another opportunity. Well, like some of you, at one point I said, enough of this. I'm done savoring. I want it, or I'm just going to go do my own thing. And I did my own thing for a while. But you know, the day came when he said, enough, Mark. I want you to move to Tulsa. And that very day, I quit my job as a regional manager of a company. I quit it, walked away, put the house up for sale, and made plans to move here. And when we got here, they didn't throw me on the platform. Are you kidding me? I wasn't in any condition at all to share anything with anybody. I had to have that maturing process continuing inside of me. Because God doesn't promote flesh. But what he does promote is the nature, his nature in you that's developed. He promotes that. And what I've noticed, what I've found, as I've done this message and been faithful to do it, I'm not going to say it's not been 100% all the time. I'm not going to say that, but it's been much more faithful here than ever before. And as things have progressed, more of his nature has come forward, has developed. And finally he said, there's enough of me there in you, Mark, that I can use now. And that's what it's about. That's what you're waiting for. Now some of you, like I did, have taken some soulish vacations along the way. Those things happen. They do. Raise your hand if you have. Have you taken one? Of course you have. Everybody does. You take a little vacation from the Spirit. You go off for a little while. You feel condemned. You come back. Something like that. And you start praying again. God knows. He expects. He knows it's going to happen. He knows. He expects that you're going to, you know, have dry times. He expects that you're going to deal with things. But what I want to talk about, is you're finally at this place where you've developed to this point, and you know you're getting really close. I can see it in some of you, honestly. When I look at you, I can see that there's a number of you that, and please, I don't want anyone to take this the wrong way because it's not meant critically. There's some of you that if you have a need, you're not the first one up here to get prayed for. You get it yourself. And I commend you for that, because that shows maturity. I'm not saying that coming up here doesn't show maturity. I'm not saying that at all. But I commend those of you that are dealing with difficult battles and you get your answer on your face. You get it for yourself. That's admirable. I found in myself, I want, me personally, I don't want to have to rely on Pastor Dave's faith. I don't want to do it. I want to get it myself. You know how a little child is, or not a child, but a young person. They're done with mommy and daddy doing it for them. I will get this myself. Shows maturity. Now, like Mitzi was talking about her and her daughter, you know, that, of course, at that age, undeveloped, you go to mommy for everything. It's expected. But I'm not talking to people right here in this room that are still crawling around on the floor. I'm talking to people that's done this for a while. You're the ones that I see here praying. You're the ones that I know are really crying out to God. And you're getting to this place where I can tell that there's an anxiousness in some of you. When am I going to step into this? His nature is developing inside of you. It's clear. It's evident. I can see it. I mean, I look at you and I can see His presence on you. You know, there's two things. We always hear about the positional truth of death. But there's also the other positional truth that's described in Ephesians chapter 2. I want you to take a look at this. This is something that I'm not sure why, but it seems to me like I focused always on the positional truth of death, that our bodies are dead according to Romans chapter 8. But look over in Ephesians chapter 2. I want to point this out to you. I'm going to start reading in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, there's the other positional truth. You're seated together with Him in heavenly places. Well, just like the positional truth that your body is dead according to Romans 8, and just as you enforce that truth by what? Tell me. Who knows? Fasting. It's not a bad word, okay? But just as you enforce it by fasting, the positional truth that we're seated together in heavenly places, we enforce by first praying in other tongues, meditating His Word, confessing His Word. And see, you know, I've heard Pastor Dave speak on this before, but how many knows that you can listen to him and still not get it? I've listened to him on this one particular tape. I know I've heard it, I don't know, 7-8 times maybe. And I miss this part every time. The positional truth that I'm seated in heavenly places, I execute that, I enforce that by praying in tongues, meditating His Word, confessing His Word. And I know that most every person here does this on a consistent basis. You're meditating. You're praying in tongues. And you know why I know this? This isn't just, and I think I may have said this before, I don't remember. This isn't just any regular church. This is, if you'll allow me, this is as much a Bible college as anything I've ever seen. You know, there's no curriculum necessarily. There's no classes except for the classes that are regular services, but no one is making you be here. But this, I listened to Gary's service on Sunday whenever he was ministering that. And you talk about, that is advanced theology. That was advanced stuff that he was pouring out Sunday morning. You take that to just any person, any Christian, that's going to go right over their head. So what I'm saying is this, you have enrolled yourself through your hunger in this Bible college. Well, when do I get to graduate? Well, it's like Gary says about when he was in college and he was in engineering. Which program are you on? Are you on the 5-year program or are you on the 20-year program? Which one is it? Because it depends on how much of the schoolwork you're doing on your own, how much of the classes you're attending, how much you're applying it in your own life. And if perchance there's someone in here that has been failing to do their homework, the only way that you're going to, that anybody would ever know is because nothing ever happens in your life. You see, this is a message of results. You do this and something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. I can assure you. But here's what's happening as I'm seeing this. It's the same thing. You're praying in tongues. But there's still these ceilings. And for those of you listening, I'm holding up my right hand. There's still these ceilings that some of you are, and I'm bouncing my left hand underneath my right hand. You're still bouncing into these ceilings. And you pray, and you're faithful to pray, and you still hit the ceilings. And some of you, those soulish vacations, why do you take them? Because you reach a place where you come to the realization that either I have to change this thing or I can't keep praying like this. And the next thing you know, we don't see you for a while. And it's simply because He's not going to allow you to continue and keep that junk inside of you. It just won't happen. As much as you want to go on, and as much as I want to go on, and just keep holding on to this baggage, it just won't happen. It can't. Because He's not going to promote flesh. He wants to promote you. And yet spiritually we stay at these places, these impasses. We stay there, we build a little fort, and we live there. And we try to act like this is the way, this is fine, I'll stay right here, and everything will be okay. You can't continue to pray and live there. It won't work. You'll either stop praying and leave, or you're going to deal with it. Everyone smile at me. Thank you. I feel so much better now. Yes, I'm going to talk about fasting. I'm sorry. But that's just the way it is. Because we've mastered one positional truth. You know how to pray in tongues. And I have to commend you because most of the world knows nothing about that. It's wonderful. You pray in tongues. You confess the word. You meditate the word. So you have that positional truth. You've got a handle on it. But I'm wanting to put this other in your hands so you get a firm grasp on it and realize you're beating yourself against the ceiling, and praying in tongues is going to get you there again, beating that ceiling. But the other positional truth has got to be executed in your life, and it's fasting. It's the way it is. I'm not talking about crazy fasting. You don't have to do crazy fasting. You can do a little bit of fasting and you'll still see results. You've got to learn how to deny yourself. Whether it's a meal a week, two meals a week, three meals, maybe you skip breakfast. Now we're going to look at a couple of scriptures here that deal with this. Because I don't want to see you continue to beat against that ceiling of your flesh. And if you think, I'm just going to pray more in tongues, you're working one positional truth. You are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are developing in your spirit, man. But there's a ceiling of your flesh, and you've got to execute that truth that it's dead, and you have to put it under you. And there's only one way of doing that. And that's by turning the food off. Do I like to do it? You must be kidding me. I hate it. I love food. My fondest memories are of food. My memories from childhood are all centered around meals. That's the way we grew up. So to think about turning the food off, you've got to be kidding me. But there has to be something that's more desirous than food. And it's the change that going without the stuff will produce. I told you earlier, when I started the service, Pastor Dave is going into a seeking time. Now let me ask you something. If Pastor Dave needs to fast, where do you put yourself in that equation? Smile at me one more time, please. Thank you. I appreciate that. So let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah 58. Before I read this, let me remind you. Let me remind you what I'm not saying. I'm not saying do foolish stuff. You can hurt yourself. Especially if you're somebody that's currently on under the care of a physician. So in no way would I ever suggest for someone like that to ever harm their body. But there are things that you can do. Simple things. Skipping one meal. I don't know. I know for myself, He led me into the recent fast. It was Him. It wasn't me. It was Him coming to me, showing me, I need you to do this. I need you to do this. I remember when Debbie was, and it was January of 2009. And you know, January of in this church for many years began a seeking time for 3 months. In that particular year, there really wasn't a whole lot said about it. I kept feeling in my heart the Lord pulling me to fast. And it was almost like He had, and I'll tell you how He said this to me. You might not believe it, but this is what I heard in my heart. Mark, please fast. He wanted me to be prepared for what we were about to face. At that moment, I had no idea that we were facing a stage 3 cancer. I had no idea. But it was about to be revealed to me in a few weeks. But he wanted me going in that direction of fasting. So I did. And I thank God for it. Because I needed every bit of that. He's coming to some of you also. You know, we have a conference coming up in October. And I know by the Spirit that He wants, and He will speak to a certain number of you to begin to do either series fasting, which, as I'm sure all of you know, fasting a day and then off a day or off 2 days and then fast again another day, however you set it up. But I am confident that He is speaking to some of you to begin to set a schedule leading up to this conference for fasting. And I hope that you will heed what He's saying to you and do it. Don't wait for someone out of leadership to stand up here and mandate it for everybody. Let's be mature. As He speaks to your heart to do it, please do it. And know that you're not alone in this. He's speaking to other people also. I can assure you of that. I can assure you. And hold up the conference and confess that people are coming in from all over the world. Confess the finances are coming into their hands that they can come to this conference because it will be a life-changing conference. How do you know? I say it will be. And join me in that confession. Say it with your mouth. This will be a life-changing conference. And continue to say it. Continue to say it. Do you know what I did today as I was preparing for this evening? Did you notice? And I take no credit for this at all. I just follow His leadership and try to obey. Did you notice how special the move of God was? The Lord had directed me to call that in today. Wasn't it wonderful? We need to do that more often. Call in. And I don't mean to say that to say that some of you aren't. Forgive me for that. But if you're not, call it in that His presence will manifest in these services. Invite Him and expect Him to do it. Cry out before Him. I don't want to ever slip into the trap of being normal. Do you hear me? Who wants to be normal? My goodness, I could have stayed in Florida and been normal. Couldn't you? How would you like to have lived in West Palm Beach? I mean, you know, stay there, be normal. No, I want to move to Oklahoma where it's 1,000,000 degrees and burn up. Are you kidding me? I didn't come this far to be normal. I came here not even knowing what I was coming here for. And now I do. It's this revival. And we are watching it unfold right now. Amen? Amen? So Isaiah 58. I want to read the first, start in verse 4. Behold, you fast for strife and debate. See, this is a prophetic word. This is talking about those that were fasting in the times of the Pharisees. They fast for strife, debate, to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Those people weren't fasting with the right heart at all. These are unborn again people. Fasting so that their voice could be heard on high? No. Today, your new nature, when you fast, you're not trying to make your voice heard on high. You're putting yourself in the position to hear His voice on the inside of you. Let's continue. Is it such a fast that I have chosen a day for man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ash under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day of the Lord? To make a show of it is what they're saying. To make a show. So that their gain is all in the flesh. It's not what fasting's about. We all know that. It's not about how holy I am or, you know, anything like that. I'm to the point now when I'm fasting, it's hard to just be around people because I don't even want to talk about it. I want to talk about it. I don't want to mention it. Sometimes you just have to be. And you have to be cordial and polite. And in some cases, you eat if you have to eat. It's just the way it is. It's like Tim says, what's more important are people. And I don't care if you're fasting and you're around someone and they're, you know, they want to feed you. Don't embarrass yourself or them. Just eat and relax. Because that's not what it's about anyway. And that brings me one other thing. The time issue. How long am I supposed to fast? We get all hung up on it. You know, I've talked to people over the years. I've seen people that have been tremendous fasters. Tremendous. And I commend them. I see other people, you preach a message like this, tomorrow they want to go on a 40-day fast. It's like, what? Where did you hear me say that? And they get all gung-ho about it, and they think this is going to answer everything. No. What I'm trying to present to you is this is a lifestyle. A lifestyle. Kenneth Hagin, although he never talked about fasting any more than 3 days, he didn't think it was necessary, but he lived a fasted life. You know, he wasn't the one at the buffet sitting there piling on their third helping. You know, that's not the way he lived. He lived a fasted life. So what I'm trying to present to you right now is it's a lifestyle. A lifestyle where you just, and believe me, I'm listening to myself preach, and I have to deal with this myself. I like food. I just tell you the truth. I like it. I like to eat it. And sometimes I don't say no soon enough. My wife can attest to that. But I have to be hungrier in my heart for what He has for me. There has to be a place where I say, enough. I'm tired of being at this spot right here. You hit that ceiling. You back up. Sometimes you stop. You go at it again. And invariably, you're praying in tongues hours sometimes. And you hit that and you're asking yourself, how am I ever going to get past this? It's the second positional truth. It's fasting. That's what it's there for. Verse 6, is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor, that they're cast out of thy house, that thou seest the naked, and that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? See, this is talking about, if you line this up with the fast that Jesus went on before he went into the wilderness, this is the fast that God called for Jesus to walk in as he went into the wilderness. What did he do there? The devil confronted him, and he defeated him, spirit, soul, and body, in all three areas. What was Jesus walking in? He was walking in a body that was given to him by the first Adam, filled with the life of God. Hey, that sounds like me. Sure is. A body given by the first Adam, filled with the life of God, it's you. What did he do? He went into the wilderness, fasted 40 days. The devil came and tempted him in all three areas. He defeated him in your place so that you could walk in that position of victory. And when he came back, you can read in Isaiah 61, it talks about the year of Jubilee, the victory, when all of the oppressed can go free, when the slaves are set free. It's exactly what happened. And you can read that whenever Jesus came out of the wilderness and walked in the temple, and he read that portion of Isaiah, because he's saying, I am the Jubilee and I'm here. Here is this position that I've given you. I have defeated the devil on your behalf. You walk in it. Okay, Jesus, how do I walk in it? If your flesh that is declared dead bugs you, kill it. Walk in the same fasting that I walked in. Do not hide yourself from your flesh. Those things that are inside of you that have been stopping you, you can't baby them. You can't be friends with them. You can't coddle them. I don't know what they are. I don't know what flavor that takes in your life. You know what it is. You know what it is. Because every time you sit there and pray in tongues, it gets magnified and you see it. And it gets clearer and clearer and clearer. And you hit it and you hit that and you hit it and you hit it. Fast. Get past it. I'm not saying that it'll be the only one. There'll be more ahead. But at least you'll be by that one. And it won't have pushed you out of prayer again. Can everybody say amen? Amen. Because this is good preaching. It's good preaching. I have to listen to it myself, honestly. I didn't want to go into this fast. I did not want to. I'm telling you the truth. I could find every excuse in the world. Has anybody ever excused themselves out of fasting? Raise your hand. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Excused right away. Well, Jesus, don't you know the 4th of July is coming up? There's always going to be something. It's going to be the 4th of July. Next thing you know, it's going to be Labor Day, then Christmas. I can't spoil Christmas. You see, it's always something. What I'm sharing with you is you have to want to change more. You have to want it. You have to be so tired of hitting that wall because it's the very thing that has stalemated you for who knows how long. Just say enough. Believe me, after a few days, take my word for it, after a few days, you won't be as hungry. Slowly, as you do this, as you get a pattern established, you'll get used to it. I'm telling you the truth now. You will get used to it. And plus, I truly believe His grace is here to help you. I know it was for me because, as I said before, I felt like He was bringing me into this. And when He brought me into it, He provided the grace to help me along the way. And I use that grace, I'm telling you. Of course, I sit sometimes in front of my computer and look up food just to... But hear what I'm saying. Hear what I'm saying. We're just getting to that place right now. And I know who I'm talking to. I know who I'm talking to. We're getting to that place. We're just right at the very edge. Look, I've read about these people that had revival before. Believe me, they're not special. They were hungry. That's it. Some of the doctrine that these people had was unbelievable. And they had the presence of God manifest. You know, to believe that if you have one little sin that you lost your salvation? Are you kidding me? But the person that had that, the power of God was all over him. So that tells me one thing. If that man can have it, I can have it too. And I'll have it. I won't be stopped. And I want you to have that same tenacity. Refuse to be stopped. All right, close your Bibles. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it. But I don't want to leave it just at that right there. Because there are some of you that this spoke right at you. Right at you. And I really believe that the grace that God visited in me that enabled me to go into a fast, that He can visit it on you as well. I believe it. What I want to do is, I want to invite those. I want to invite you. You're tired of hitting your head against that ceiling. You've hit it long enough. I don't know if you've ever fasted. Maybe you never have. I know there's some people in this church that don't like hearing about this. I didn't write the Bible. I'm just telling you what it says, and I'm telling you that this will help you. And I want you to get past it. Because I want all of us to walk into this together. And as I said at the beginning, He's not going to promote flesh. It just won't happen. See, I'm really excited because you're here tonight. If you're here, you're serious. So I'm going to give you an opportunity right now. If you're just tired, if you reach that place and you need help and you want that grace, so that you can break through this, that you can turn the food off and get by this, Maybe you've got a sickness in your body that has just dogged you for years. And it just seems like you've never been able to believe your way past it. Maybe it's something that you deal with the sin issue. And you just cannot seem that thing. It just keeps dogging you. And you want to get past it. I don't know what it is. But I can assure you, I didn't preach this message for just myself. So if it's you, don't miss this opportunity to come up here and get some grace. I can't force you. It's up to you. I don't think it's just one person either. So I open it up right now. You're welcome to come forward. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If I'm not talking to you, if you will, please pray. Pray in tongues. Thank you, Jesus.